King. Jess King is in the mall, and I am a teenager at this point, and the woman I'm working for is going through a divorce, and she hates men. I mean, no, legit hates men. Me and another guy and some girls are working there. And after working, and here's just typical, after working, say, a 12 to 9 on a Saturday, full of people, constant motion, always working, always selling, putting back stock if you got a free moment, just sweating, barely taking a break, because back in that day, they didn't care if you took a break and you got no one to complain to. Back in that day, so end of the day, Saturday, I'm dead tired. We've got to vacuum, we've got to clean up, we've got to run the register, we got all this stuff to do. I'm the only guy left and a couple of girls. She's back with the girls talking and telling me I need to hurry up so they can get out of there. She's a man. She hates guys. I say something, she cusses me, words I cannot say in church. I could, but only once. Things I should not say. And this was typical. This was the normal thing with her as I worked there. Now, here's the thing. I kept doing the job. It wasn't the day and the age where you look up corporate on the net, because if I'd said the net, they would have looked for a fishing net. They didn't know, and there was no way to do anything, and really, you either do the job or they fire you. There's no writing you up three times and hoping that you sue or something. They fired me because I'm a white Christian male. No, it didn't work that way back then. So I did the job. She had my respect positionally, do you hear me, but not relationally. So in other words, she has the position. I have to do what she says. So in that sense, she has my respect. And there's something good about that in a sense, because it taught me how to continue on and do what I need to do, because I had a car payment of $211.67 a month on my 77 Ford Thunderbird. So I got to do the job. Now, here's the other place I had worked before this, and this is why the transition was so hard, because I was the go-getter, I was the overachiever in a lot of ways, and I had also worked at Western Junction House of Jeans Corporation, youngest management staff in the history of the company. You should be so impressed they don't even exist today. But as a high schooler, I was in management. Wasn't supposed to be. I was in distributive ed. I wasn't supposed to work that many hours a week. But again, I had a car payment, $211.67 a month for a 77 Thunderbird that was in the shop as much as it was on the road. The woman that I worked for here was also the store manager, and I was the associate manager, the assistant manager. And she was incredible. She let us employees know that she genuinely cared about us, wanted to know how our day off was, what we did. And yes, she gave us tasks. I need to do a vacuum. I need that rack straight. You didn't straighten it right. She's a manager. She's doing the manager stuff. But she genuinely cared. Now, here's the thing. I worked for her as well, and I did the stuff for her as well. I had respect for her professionally because of her title, but also relationally because I knew who she was and the way she treated us. She had authority, but her authority was not simply positional. Her authority was relational. How we understand authority has a lot to do with how we follow Jesus. In fact, let me say something. It'll sound kind of dumb, but it's true. Following Jesus means following Jesus. Dumb, right? But profound if you think about it, because if you're going to follow Jesus, oh, I follow Jesus. No, I don't mean like on Instagram. I mean like follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you follow Jesus, and authority has something to do with that. Now, hold on, because I know right now as I'm saying this, if you hadn't been around here, you're thinking, wait a minute, he's going to talk about how he has authority and he's a pastor and you need to do what he says. Let the wall fall. That ain't this church, okay? You good? Let the wall fall. That ain't this church. For us, just so you know, real quickly, I've got to do it quickly, we are sola scriptura. What that means is the Bible is the court of highest authority. If I say something that goes against the Bible, which one do you go with? Always, every single time. And then come and tell me. Maybe I said it wrong. Maybe you heard it wrong. Maybe we just differ. And guess what? That's okay. We're all in process. The scripture is what forms us. We don't form it. And so we're not going there today. We will talk about leadership. I think we'll get there, but not in that way, all right? So how we understand authority and submission to authority is a huge part of following Jesus in our relationships because we're imitating him. Let's go to Matthew 23. That's where we're going to be. Feel free to turn in your scriptures. It'll be on the screen as well. Matthew 23 is this. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples. Let me stop here. We made it this far. Let me stop. Jesus said to the crowds and to us. Who's he talking to? It's up there. Thank you so much. Thank you. I was getting a little worried. Said to the people listening and to his disciples. The 12 at this point, going to be 11 soon. Now, we're going to come back to this because this is huge. But by the way, the Pharisees are there. They are. He's been talking to the Pharisees because this is his last week of life before he goes to the cross. And so they've been testing him. They've been trying to trip him up in his words. They've been asking about all sorts of stuff. And even the Sadducees got their time to ask about resurrection and who will she be married to and all of this stuff. He's been talking to the Pharisees. Now he's going to be talking about the Pharisees, and right after this, he's going to be pronouncing judgment on the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! He's getting ready to do that. But right now, within the crowd, the Pharisees are there, the religious leaders are there, the scribes are there, but he's talking to everyone. He's going to talk about the Pharisees, and what he's going to say, this is an okay place to be honest. What he's going to say is incredibly annoying. Has Jesus ever annoyed you? Like, you know, you have to forgive him. Is there somebody else up there I could talk to? What's your dad doing right now? I don't mean that disrespectful. I just mean there are times he's going to be a little annoying, especially to me, in this moment in America. I'm just telling you straight up, and we will apply it in that way in just a moment. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes, those are people who take the scriptures and make copies of them very clearly, and they know the law, and the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious leaders, they sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you. You'd go to the synagogue, and there would be a stone seat there, and it was a seat of authority, and the Pharisee who would be teaching that day would sit on the seat, and the people would stand in honor of the teacher and the word of the living God, and they would open a scroll, and they would read, and then they would teach from it based upon that. And Jesus has just said to these people he's getting ready to pronounce judgment on, he's just said about them, they sit on that seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you. They have authority at the moment. It is derived authority. It means it comes from God and from sitting in the seat of Moses because they're reading the scrolls. As a theocracy, because that's what they were, God in charge of Israel. They have authority. They have exousia. They have power. They have control. It carries with it the idea of autonomy. I can do whatever I want. But as people who represent God, they're supposed to do whatever God wants. I think they lost track of that. Then Jesus said to the crowds, do and observe. Now watch this. Do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. Do what they say, but don't you dare follow what they're doing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you come to a church and the leaders get you and you're brand new and they say, hey, just want you to know, and a pastor's a good teacher. Be sure and listen to him. He's really good, but dude, don't live like him. I mean, when he ain't here on Sundays, he's doing cocaine. He's stealing cars. What? I ain't listening to that dude. Jesus just said to the crowd and his disciples, do and observe what they tell you because of where they sit, positional authority. Man, don't you dare live like them. Well, then why would I want to listen to them? Why in the world would I listen to people who are absolute rank hypocrites? They tell me to do it, and they don't do it. They say I must in order to serve God, and they don't. Why would I listen to them? Right? I got a problem with that. That's annoying. I don't like what Jesus is saying. I want to reinterpret. Do we have a message version? Maybe it'll say something different. They preach, and they don't practice. Hypocrites. They exercise authority, but they're not under authority. Why follow them then? And Israel has to for a very short time because change is coming. The new covenant is coming. Remember when Jesus had said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me and take my yoke upon you. I'm humble and gentle in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Remember he makes that call? That's getting ready to happen within about 50 plus days when the church of Jesus starts. They'll be able to throw off the yoke, the teaching of the Pharisees, and take on Christ's yoke. Not yet. Change is coming. It ain't there yet. So they the religious leaders are lawless, and they're telling us what to do. Why should I follow their laws? Let me do it this way. Let's translate. Let's do it real quickly, but let's translate. How many of you believe that Congress is incredibly scrupulous when it comes to the laws they make and following it themselves? Okay, you think Congress follows their own laws? Okay, all right. I didn't mean to. I love you, sis. I didn't mean to. No, I don't. Insider trading, drugs, and all sorts of. Did you say Pfizer? You can say that. I don't care. Pfizer, Mark Zuckerberg. So, in any case, we're canceled now, and we can keep going. I don't know if they follow their own laws. Incredibly lawless. They don't seem to have the same justice we do. DUIs and the kids get away scot-free. So why, if they're not following the laws, why should I follow the laws? There are places where you can do the crime and you don't even go to jail. There's no bond. They let you back out and just tell you, come back to this court date. You coming back? No, I'm going to go out and do more crime. Why should I follow the laws if they don't follow the laws? There are smash and grabs, and if it's under a certain amount, you can take as much as you want up to that amount. Nobody going to chase you out of the store. It's yours. Just wear a mask. Why should I pay for what I buy? Because Jesus is pressing us on this. They don't follow the law, you better. They sit in positional authority. You have to follow them. But they don't follow it. Here's the answer, because you serve God, not them. And he created authority. They sit in Moses' seat. Your life is meant to glorify God. And we do not take our cues for what we do and we don't do from the world around us. And if we do, we're screwed. You seen the world around us? Gotta love them. I've been there. I got my own problems. Not pointing fingers. I'm just saying. So your work is meant to glorify God. Your personal ethics are meant to glorify God. Your mouth, ooh, that one's hard, based on the morning I had, meant to glorify God. Your whatever it is. They don't. Yeah, it's true. What is that to you, Jesus says? Remember at the end, John 21, Jesus is getting ready to ascend, and he's already resurrected. Peter has denied him. He's talking to Peter, and he says, hey, Peter, you know, one day you're going to walk, and you're going to go where they don't want you to go. He's talking about how Peter's going to die. And Peter looks back and sees John, and he says, what about him? And Jesus says, what is that to you? You follow me. This is our ethic. We follow Jesus. If no one else does, we still do. This is our ethic. To follow Jesus means that we follow Jesus. We serve, we seek the blessing of when they don't deserve it, even when they're hypocritical, because following Jesus means following Jesus, and it changes the relationship dynamic we have with everyone. And it's annoying, it bothers me, it's true. Why, Jesus? Because following Jesus means following Jesus, and he served us when we didn't deserve it. So the lady who hates men is going through a divorce. I'm still responsible to do the job I'm called to do. Or quit if I can't handle it. The laws are good. They restrain fallen nature. That's what they're supposed to do, right? If there's the fear of consequence, then we're restrained in what we do. And I know this because I'm married. And I don't own a sports car and a boat and a second home. Because I wouldn't be married anymore. I'd be dead. Even the lawmakers, even when they become evil, we glorify God by being lawful. And yes, if it goes against Scripture, if it goes against that which is our chief law, the Word of the living God, we don't do it. We don't follow it. In this land, let me do it this way. Let me see if I have it, if I put it up there. Yeah, let's do it this way. Let's talk about it real quickly, and then we need to get right back to it. As it relates to Christians right now in this moment with our state and with our government, I don't want to give opinion. I appreciate very much Pastor Trent. So you test this against Scripture and against what you know to be true. We're told in Romans 13 that all authority, governing authority, comes from God and is meant for our good. But it's fallen. And so you can look at nature and you look at history, and government hadn't always been good, has it? Because it's fallen. You got people in power. In America, our chief, the way it was set up, if I understand it, and you test it and you check it and come tell me if I'm wrong, Our chief law of the land is the Constitution. Is that not correct? Isn't that the way it was supposedly set up? And then laws are then checked against the Constitution. And if they're not constitutional, they're supposed to be struck down by a court, all the way up to, in the federal case, the Supreme Court. And then mandates are not laws. We just came through a time with mandates. I know you probably don't remember. It's this little thing, something about wearing face diapers. I don't remember, something like this, getting some jabs. Mandates aren't laws. And if they're unconstitutional, then they probably don't need to be followed. Ooh. Yeah, I went there. Now, in all of that, if the Constitution goes against Scripture, I go with Scripture. If it goes against my conscience as it relates to being informed by Scripture, I go with my conscience. These things matter. And I do these above all else because I serve God above all else. So how do I resist with a good conscience toward God in a way that glorifies Him? And there will be times, and I maybe I'm wrong, I hope I am. I think there's probably some times coming where we're going to have to do some resisting. How do we do that? Listen in a way that doesn't just throw our finger in the air and say, forget you. How do we do it in a way that glorifies God? You got to have a firm foundation. People scream when they're not sure where they stand. You got to know where you stand. Do I really believe this? Do I believe God has called me to this? Is this a position that I believe God wants me to take? Firm foundation. I've prayed it through. I've looked at the Scripture. Strong voice. Gentle and respectful when you're called in. The apostles were jailed. They were beaten for preaching in the name of Jesus. They were told, don't you dare preach in His name anymore. You're making us guilty of His blood. Well, yes, because you are. You know what they said? They didn't say, forget you, we're going to go do what we want. They said, you decide whether it's better to obey you or God, but we're going to keep preaching in His name. We will not comply, is what they said. Paul is in chains, and he's taken before Festus, and he says, hey, I wish you were like me except for these chains. In other words, I still want you to come to know Jesus. I'm before you, and I'm subject, but I want you to know Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not bowing down. Our God can save us, and if He doesn't, we're still going to follow Him. Moses' parents did not comply. And I could see, and I know I don't have time, but I could see in my head, I can just see someone back in that day going, you ought to go ahead and, I got rid of my son, you ought to get rid of your son, you're going to bring the Egyptians down on us, and we're going to have problems. Why do you hate us? Why are you so hateful? You ought to do that. The thing that has, I'm just processing verbally right now, the thing that has most disturbed me and shocked me about the time we're in are those who call themselves by the same name, Christian, and even just those who are American, who would yell at us for following Scripture and conscience. That's a strange thing. Stand for Jesus. Do it in a way that glorifies Him in the hopes that even those who hate you would come to know Christ, because that's the legacy of those who have come before us. I got to go a little further. And by the way, I know we're talking politics, it seems like, but where politics, which intrudes on every area of life, crosses Scripture, we're going to talk Scripture. So if you're a parent, you have authority over your child. You have to watch what comes into their lives. You're called to filter what comes in. They cannot, they will, they can physically, but they cannot sit and process the same movies you do. Stop it. Think about what you're showing them. You're the authority. You're the guardian. You watch. You're the parent. You're the parent. You decide what they get taught. And if you don't like it, you ain't got to be in that school. There's a place right now where they have said, is it Washington State? Somewhere they have said, if your child decides that they want to change genders and you're not cool with it, we'll take them from you. Well, then I'm moving. I ain't staying in that state. I'm the parent. You're not threatening me that way. Just recently in Maryland, they said that you don't have the right to opt your kids out of certain sexually alternative material that are going to be taught to kids. The heck I don't. My kid ain't got to come to your school. You're the parent. That's what authority is. Scripture and conscience above all else. Above all else. Because if there's a law or a judgment that goes against the Constitution, it could be years before that makes it up to the Supreme Court. Scripture and conscience above all else, in a way that glorifies God, protects those in your charge, and hopefully brings others to Christ. That's our goal. I got to go a little further. I ain't got time. They tie up heavy burdens, Jesus says, these Pharisees. Hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders. They themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They weigh you down. They tell you to walk with all these rules, and they won't even lift a finger to help you. But you got to obey them right now, Jesus says. Why? Because it's not going against Scripture. It's just adding to. And change is coming. The new covenant is coming. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, to be approved of men, by men, for the respect of men, to have authority over men, rather than an audience of one, rather than using their authority to serve God and serve the people that they've been given authority over as a stewardship. They just want to be seen by people. Here's me helping a homeless person. Don't do that. Don't be that person. Please don't be that person. I just want to encourage others, then encourage them, but they don't need a shot of you giving $50 to the guy who's homeless. They don't need that. We serve because we love. And because we do that, and because it's not to be seen by others, we don't have to show ourselves as perfect because we're not. Man, you can drop that performance-oriented mask, that reputation you're trying to protect. Just be who you are. If they like you, cool. If they don't like you, cool. We're not perfect. Jesus is. Man, there's so much freedom there. We can be transparent and real. Oh, it's so good. Now, I need to translate again. I got to do it quick. They make their phylacteries long and their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. Just so you know, that's not some kind of weird code words for weird stuff. The phylactery is like this little box. They keep it on their arm or their hand and right around their head, and it kept Scripture in it. They were taking Exodus and Deuteronomy, I believe, and what was supposed to be symbols and making them actual things. And they make their little box with the Scripture in it on a head really big. So they want to say, not just am I somebody who follows God and I'm a holy man, but I'm more holy than you. Look at the size of my phylactery. What? And their fringes, which show they belong to God, they make them long. They want to be seen by others is the point. And they love the place of honor at feasts. First place, right next to the buffet. Ain't got to wait for nobody. You're released first. The best seats in the synagogues, the greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by others. Rabbi means my great one, my honorable sir, worthy of great honor. Of course they love being seen. Of course they love being, who wouldn't love being fussed over, being deferred to, being introduced as, I actually know this guy, I actually know this person. Who wouldn't? First place at the buffet? Dude, sign me up. Because they do all their deeds to be seen by others. Why is Jesus so upset by this? Because he's upset. When authority is for power over, it is not godly authority. If you find yourself in a church where it's all about whatever the pastor says or whatever some person who gives a lot of money says, get out. You ain't going to change it. Just leave. Seriously. When it's for personal gain at the expense of others, it is not godly authority. Authority comes from God. And you have it, by the way. You do have authority. It exists to serve people by serve God by serving people made in his image and pointing to King Jesus. And you have it. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a boss. Maybe you're the coach of a team. Or maybe you're just a disciple. When Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, go therefore in my authority. You have authority to make disciples, to tell people about Jesus. You can't force it. You can't push it. You shouldn't. But you get to set before them, Jesus is beautiful, in the hopes that they will come to know him and have their eternities changed. That's authority. It's for serving, always. Now, Jesus makes the change right here, and it's a huge change. Huge. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all brothers. Let me go back to it. Who's Jesus talking to? We said it at the beginning. Who's he talking to? And, oh, thank you so much. You made my day. And disciples. Disciples. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Last week of his life, he's going to resurrect. 50 days later, Pentecost, church is born. The disciples become what? What are they called now? Apostles. They go from learners, mathetes, to apostles, apostolos. They're now sent ones. Capital A apostles. They have authority. These guys speak, and the church is supposed to listen. These guys write Scripture. They plant churches. They heal the sick. They raise the dead. These guys have amazing authority. And you know what Jesus says? Don't let them call you my honored one, my great master, because you're all brothers, and the ground is level at the cross. That's the change that comes. That's the change. In that moment, we're brothers. I have a part in the body of Christ. Pastor Trent, Pastor Corey, we have a part. Our elders have a part in the body of Christ. You know who's above us? Jesus only. You know who's below us? No one. The ground is level. We're family. We're family. And my part, the Bible says, it really ain't much because I already get my honor by being up here. The dude doing the coffee, man, you better thank that person. They're doing behind the scenes. Person teaching your kids, working in the nursery, cleaning the church and all the rest of that. Those are the places you honor. We're brothers. We're family. And you got one teacher. And Jesus says, don't you let anybody call you great, honorable sir, master. Don't do that. You got one teacher, me. You guys, brothers and sisters. And in that moment, pastor-centered, personality-driven church dies. If you understand it, no church should ever be driven by a personality. And if it is, it may go skyrocketing if the personality is just really gifted, but it'll wind up in the dirt before it's over. Seen it happen. I bet you have too. Bet you could call the names. Celebrity Christianity in that moment is staked through the heart. Pedestal faith is shown for the scam that it is. We're all equal. Jesus is our exalted master. He's our rabbi, and only Jesus. And us, the Bible says, outdo one another in showing honor. Ooh, culture of honor. We honor one another for the sake of Christ. And call no man on earth, no man your father on earth. I have a different version in my head. You have one father who is in heaven, neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. Let me translate this. I got to do it quickly. I'm a father. One of the greatest privileges of my life. I love being a father. We're talking about this as an honorific, as a religious title. It's okay to be a father, but as a religious title of respect. And yes, I understand there's an application today. Make it. Make it. Call no one on earth father as a religious title. You have one father, and that is your father in heaven. Call no one your instructor. Well, wait a minute. We have teachers in the church. We have teachers in... This is a different word. It means an instructional master. They have mastered the material and they can't be questioned. Anytime you got somebody who can't be questioned, question them and walk away. Are there pastors? Yeah, that's New Testament biblical. Elders? Absolutely. Deacons? Yeah, there are deacons. All of those are biblical. But someone who has absolute authority over? No. Just our God, just his word, always. And then he says this, the greatest among you, the ones imbued with the most authority, power, the ones who are authority from heaven, from heaven's perspective, the ones most empowered by God are empowered this way. You can recognize them by this. The ones who have the greatest authority are this. They're going to be your servants. Those are the ones. And you'll never know it because they're humble. And they're not pointing to themselves. They're just looking to serve. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Whoever humbles himself and serves will be exalted. So Jesus started with the authority of the Pharisees. And they have it at the moment. So follow their instruction right now because you're glorifying God. Even when it ain't right. You're going to be employed by Chess King, do the job. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. Doesn't matter if you have to do all the work yourself. You're going to be employed, do the job. You don't like that? Find another place to work. They have authority. Follow their instruction. But they're not worthy of it. They just want power and position. And they ain't going to last much longer. God is done with their foolishness and with their hypocrisy. Jesus is getting ready to say, woe to you. That's judgment, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And as for you, you have my authority, Jesus says. Your apostles, your disciples. You'll have it for the purpose of serving. And if no one else serves, you still serve. And if they don't deserve it, you still serve. You married her, she ain't acting right, you're still washing her feet, serving her. Like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He ain't acting worthy of respect, you're still showing him respect and serving him like the church submits to and serves Christ. We serve because it glorifies God. Yeah, but I don't like my boss and I don't like my work and my boss is Lucifer and... Dude, you have the job, do the job. Do it well so it honors God and people want to know what the difference is in you so you can tell them about the hope you have in Jesus Christ. And if nobody notices, still do it because Jesus does. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. You do yours to be seen by God. Following Jesus means following Jesus. I got to do this quick. We're done. Hang out. So Jesus created authority. He shows us what it means. Matthew 20, three chapters before. James and John have gone with their mommy to Jesus to ask for positions in the kingdom. It's sad and silly. The sons of thunder got mommy with them. Can you give my kids, like, sit on your right hand and your left hand? And Jesus is like, are you kidding me here? I'm going to the cross. He doesn't say it that way. That's the Brian paraphrase version. But Jesus in that moment does this. Jesus called all the disciples to him, and he said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. The great ones exercise authority over them. Don't take your cues from the world, is what he says. It shall not be so among you, but whoever be great among you must be your, there's that word again, servant. Whoever be first among you must be your slave. The words are diakonos and doulos, deacon and slave. He says, even as, now watch this, I told you following Jesus means following Jesus. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, all authority over nature, the winds and the waves, still at his word. Peace, be still. I was taking a nap. Calm down. The demons cry out and he sends them into pigs. Sickness is cast out and healed. Raises from the dead. Jesus, with the authority from the Father at this moment, he had laid it all aside, Philippians 2. I don't have time to go into it. Subjected himself to torture and slow death on a cross in authority. He laid it aside to do these things in order to serve rather than to be served. Nothing about that was for power over people, not a single thing. It was seeking what was in our best interest. Restored relationship with the Father via the cross so that our sins were forgiven and justice was met. That's the King you serve. Following Jesus means following Jesus. Did they treat him right? No. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You going to be treated right always? No. Your spouse going to treat you right always? No. Your parents? No. Your guardians? No. Your kids? No. Do you serve them? If you love Jesus, you do. You serve them according to their needs. Not what their wants, their needs. That's what we're called to do. I'm not the greatest at it. But I love Jesus and I want to. And that's what you're called to do as well. Following Jesus means following Jesus. Jesus created authority. He showed us what it means. We got to stop here. Let me do it this way.